Bibles and stand with me. We're going to tackle that last set of the four of the Meditate the Life stanzas. And we're in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Then Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses 77 and 78. Stand if you're capable of standing. If not, amen. We definitely understand that. But we're in those two areas, and yeah, I don't know about you, but I have really delighted in dealing with this particular area of investing in what cannot be taken away. We talk about a lot of things that have been taken away from us. Gregory's still upset. I got a text message from the coach, and the coach said, well, we're going to start back up practice, amen. The caveat is this, it's just conditioning. You can't touch a basketball. You know what it's like for basketball players to get together and not touch a basketball, amen? They said there's too much contamination still that's possible, so we'll just take you out and run you up and down the stairs and all these other things to get in shape. And he's like, no basketball. Like, no, somebody may I chew on and pass it to you, amen? And so it's amazing what's going on. But you know what? Basketball can be taken away, but the Word of God cannot, amen? The presence of God cannot be taken away, and the promises of the Word of God cannot be taken away. And that's what we're looking at right now. So read with me Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. And I'm sorry, yeah, 41 and 42. Here we go. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Notice that Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And we use that as a jumping verse talking about things that cannot be taken away from you and I that we really need to invest in, because when it's all said and done, a lot of things can be taken away. But this cannot be taken away. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said in Luke 21:33, but my words shall not pass away. Go back to Psalm 119. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Talking about investing in that which cannot be taken away. Psalm 119, notice verses 77 and 78, and these are the two verses that handle our words of meditate and delight. And read with me verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. The first two times we saw these words, meditate, delight, delight came second, meditate came first. And so meditate came and then delight came. Now the last two sections we saw, delight comes first and meditate comes second. What's the meaning there? If I meditate on God's word enough, I'm going to delight in it, amen? And once I start delighting in it, I'm going to want to meditate more in it, amen? And so that's what we're looking at. And that cannot be taken away. That'll keep you sane when everything else around you is going insane, amen? That'll keep you straight when the politics seems to be up and over the edge, amen? They say Arizona has spent the last few weeks the most on political commercials than any other state. Every time you turn on TV, you see that, but I'm not going to preach on that today, amen? Let's get to something good, amen? Father, thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that we can be right side up when the world seems to be upside down. Thank you that we have something that the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words should not pass away. Thank you that Mary chose that good part which should not be taken away from her. God, we want to choose to invest more in that which cannot be taken away, your person and the promises that are in the Word of God. Oh, what a blessing it could make and will make and is making in our lives upon our investment. And God, the returns are out of this world, literally in heaven. Thank you so much for your love. Lord, I do pray there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today or listening by way of the World Wide Web that, Lord, today would be the day they would choose Christ and be saved, for it's everlasting too late. And salvation is one of those things that cannot be taken away from us. We thank you, we love you, and praise you, Lord. Minister to our hearts, help us to leave here refreshed, revived, Lord, and just ready to go out and face the world once again for a new week. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, talking about investing in that which cannot be taken away. Investing more in that which cannot be taken away, like Mary did. Amen. Give you this again. Investment means this: to spend time, money, effort, or energy to achieve a profit. Amen. And I made this comment. I'm even one profit. We all do. Amen. The only profit we don't want is around the midsection. Amen. We don't want a profit there at all. Amen. We don't want any profit around the belly area. Amen. We want to kind of thin that out and have that on recession. Amen. But when it comes to just about everything else, we want a profit. Amen. And that's just the way it goes. And so investment, I mean, so we spend time, money, or effort to achieve a profit. And we're looking at the promises of God now that cannot be taken away after we looked at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said this, that in Psalm 119, the word meditate is connected with delight four times. And we've looked at three and a half of those. Amen. The last one we're looking at right now here in verses 73 down to verse number 80. And let me read something here that Warren Wiersbe says about this particular section of eight verses. He said this: God made us and knows best how we should manage our life. The Bible is his how to do it manual for making life work successfully. We all want life to work successfully, amen. It tells you how to use your body and mind and how to handle your time and money and how to make right decisions. Obeying it can keep you from getting into trouble and hurting yourself and others. Do not wait until all else fails before you read the instructions. It may be too late. I told you a story one time. We were teaching the teenagers over in Belgium. And the design was to get them to use their Bibles. And so we gave them all sorts of questions and things of that nature. And they were stumped. They couldn't figure the questions out. And one of our teenagers really discouragingly said this: I guess I'll have to use my Bible. And I thought, you think? That was my intent from the beginning, to get you to use your Bible. They were scratching their head trying to come up with the answers. And I said, it's in your hand. Flip the pages. Open it up. Look at it. The answer's there. And he said, I guess I'll have to use my Bible. I thought, where are we at? And so when you look at this, amen, that is what God is doing oftentimes with situations and circumstances and sinners around us, is trying to get us to use his word. And then why? It cannot be taken away, amen. The psalmist here is going through some afflictions and some hard times, and guess where the afflictions come from? People, sinners. I dare say some probably came from saints, amen. And so as we look at this, we looked at the first of three stanzas of verse, and we had this kind of overriding theme. Delight in the promises preserves us from the proud and pity parties. Preserves us from the proud and pity parties. Amen. I didn't have a pity party this week. We came to the end of the week, and I asked everybody how their week was. Amen. And everybody was talking, oh, it was hard. It was this. It was this. And my wife said, well, honey, let's hear from you. How was your week? I said, my week was great, especially compared to last week. Amen. Every time I turned around, something leaked and something flooded. Amen. Praise God for Kelly, my Savior. Water relieved me from Noah's flood. Amen. Everywhere I turned, something was broken. Something was leaking. Now I think Pastor White caught my fever. Amen. He's on the flat this morning. Amen. So the best thing away from me is rubbing off from me and getting to you. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. And so I said, I got a great week. Amen. I'm glad that my weeks and my circumstances and my situation don't have to depend on my surroundings, but on my Savior, amen, who is stable. Amen. And so I could have had a good week last week if I had the right focus. Amen. But I didn't. And this week I vowed to change my focus. And so I had an outstanding week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say, preacher, did everything go right? No. Does everything go right in your week, every week? No. Well, it's the focus that you have. Amen. It's the focus that you have. Amen. And the faith that you have on the Lord that you're focusing in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we saw in verse 73, the psalmist's view of creation can't be taken away. That something precious couldn't be taken away. He says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And by the way, God didn't make some and let the rest evolve. God didn't make monkeys and monkettes, amen, and said turn into man, amen. I'm so glad that my ancestors are not monkeys. I'm glad my mother's not a monkette, amen. God didn't make my monkeys and man, monkeys and monkettes, and said, now, evolve and turn into some, lose some hair, stand upright, be erect, start talking. God created man in his own image, amen. I don't care what the evolutionists want to say. I don't care what they're teaching, amen. He said down there in verse 73, thy hands have made and fashioned me. He molded me and he made me. And so he said, now give me understanding that I may learn of thy commandments. And we said this, that he needed to understand people in his life. You know, no two people are alike. No, the DNA is different. The fingerprint is different. The eyeball is different. No two people are alike. Amen. Hey, he said, thy hands have made me and fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. We made this comment as well. When he says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, the first commandments need to be understood are the Ten Commandments, because it helps you upward with God and it helps you to understand your parents and it helps you to understand others. Amen. Why? Because everybody is a sinner or a saint. Everybody is a sinner. Amen. There's just some sinners that are saved by the grace of God and God calls them saints. And so saints and sinners alike will get on your last nerve. And when you thought you didn't have any more nerve, they got on that one too. Amen. Did you know that nerves can grow back? That's why people keep getting on them. Amen. And so we saw point number one, the psalmist's view of creation can't be taken away. Then number two, the psalmist's view of counsel can't be taken away. He says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. And perhaps the psalmist had in mind, he didn't share his experiences with someone else who was struggling in the faith and being persecuted for something. I may mention that it is good to see others that you know fear God. And he says down there, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? We got something in common, amen. I may mention that Rob was here last week. Now, Kelly called out the Calvary, amen. And now Sheila's here. Now, Margie's here, amen. He called out the Calvary. I got them all, amen. Why? They're glad to see him, amen. It said, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Pastor Bennett called me again this week. He must know that I had a bad week last week. I need some encouragement, amen. Brother Dawson, how's it going this week? I said, oh, fabulous, fabulous compared to last week. Amen. They're praying for you. I need it, amen. I need it. And so it feels good when you can counsel someone else who's going through something similar to what you're facing. And so the psalmist said, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I hope in thy word. Then we came up to point number three in verse 75, the psalmist's view of correction can't be taken away. It says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgment's right, that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And many of God's dealings with us designed to bring us closer to him and our character and to change us. And so the psalmist says, you know, I know, God, you did this. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who have been called according to his purpose. But then it says that he wants to be conformed to the image of his son. Did Jesus Christ go through afflictions? Yes, he did. Did he suffer? Yes, he did. Did he go through hard situations? Yes, he did. Did he go through temptations by Satan? Yes, he did. By the way, same things don't happen to you and I. What are those things designed to do? They're designed to bring certain afflictions in our life to make us more Christ-like. What's what he says? I know, O Lord. Man, you know you're spiritual when you say, I know, O Lord, what you're doing is right. I know what you're doing is good. That it's coming to somebody's afflicting you. I know, O Lord, that thy judgment's right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He said, Lord, I know what you're doing is right. I know it's good for me. We don't always like it, though. No, I didn't like a lot of things after me last week. But guess what? I know God allowed that. Amen. And I'm glad he got me through it. Amen. And so God often uses sinners, saints, and situations to get our attention. And now we move to the last of four of these, or the last five, I should say, of these. Amen. And continuing verse number 76, I'm going to see the psalmist's view of comfort cannot be taken away. The psalmist's view of comfort cannot be taken away. Notice verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Now, I want you to notice something.
Psalmist talks about how God made him in verse 73, how he wants him to give him understanding and so he can understand things. In verse 74, he said, the people that see me, they're going to be glad when they see me because I'm putting your word. Verse 75, he said, Lord, I know your faithfulness and your faithfulness, you've afflicted me. And now in verse 76 through 80, he's going to say, as a result of what I just said, Lord, let some things happen. Notice verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. Verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed for they dealt perversely with me. Verse 79. Let those that fear thee turn unto me. Verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. He said, God, some things have happened in my life, but now let's finish the job. Let's go ahead and get busy. I know you've afflicted me. I know you made me. I know people are glad to see me. I know. So now let's get busy. Let's finish the job. You've furbished me around. You've gotten everything ready. Let's finish the job. Let's finish the job. Hey, man, I was glad last week was over. I said, well, let's finish the job now. Now I'm still walking on eggshells around the house. What else is going to fall apart? I had a family meeting with the children the other day. The faucet, you know, you got the faucet that kind of goes like that, and it was cocked to the side like that, kind of half on, half on. I said, hey, family meeting, come in here, children. I didn't see who did it. I said, do you see how this faucet here is off to the side? There's a rubber gasket in there, and drip will come through there to wear out, and this won't happen. It won't work right. And you know what Daddy's going to have to do? He's going to have to take it apart and fix it. Daddy had enough of waterworks last week. Can we make sure we assist him by making sure all the way down? Yes, Daddy, we can do it. Good, good, good. And so I'm walking past the bathroom. Good. Walk past it again. Good. I had enough waterworks last week, amen. I'm like, this one can be avoided. Just turn that thing off. Turn it off, make sure it's down. Down and in the middle. Down. Can we do that? Yeah, practice. Down. Down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, what I'm saying? He said, I'm ready for you to get busy. Lord, let some things happen now. You've done your groundwork. You've plowed me. You've done these things. You plowed it. Now let's get some things to finish. Verse 76. He says down there, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. In other words, what he's saying, Lord, I want you to allow some things to happen now, and one of the things I want you to let happen is merciful kindness. Give me unwarranted favor or compassion. Comfort me. Console me. I need it. Why? I'm being afflicted. I've just talked about that in verse number 70, where is that? 75. He says, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. He said, as a result, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. He said, God, if I don't get your mercy, if I don't get your comfort on me, Lord, it's not going to work, and I know where I'm going to get it to me. I'm going to find it in your word. And so he says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Comfort me with your word. And so when you look at this, with the afflictions and the corrections that he's experienced, the psalmist is asking God, go easy, Lord. Give me some refuge. Give me a respite. Give me something. And he says, you know what? I know where we'll find it. Right here. Right here. This is how God comforts us. Matter of fact, hold your finger there, go back to 2 Corinthians. In the New Testament, Paul worded this perfectly. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and Paul does a tremendous, tremendous job in wording the comfort that he got. And by the way, do you know why God gives you comfort? So that you can be a comforter. God comforts you so that you can be a comforter. He helps you so that you can be a helper. He gives you finances so that you can be a financer. He gives you some tribulation so you can help somebody else with their tribulation. God is just that type of a God. He doesn't give you something just for. He gives you something to give it to somebody else. Amen. And when it comes down to this, when we look at this, the psalmist's view of comfort, notice verse number 3 in 2 Corinthians. Paul said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of, what's that word? Mercies and the God of all what? Comfort. Who what? Comforteth who? Us in what? All our tribulations, that who? We may be what? Able to comfort who? Them. Which what? Which are in any trouble. By what? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That what God gave me, I can give to somebody else. Amen. Amen. Why is the psalmist going through afflictions? Why are you having troubles? Why am I having troubles? Why is this here? So that you and I can help somebody else.
Amen.
Yes, I'm not going to make you the end of the road. I want you to pass it on to someone else. Praise God. I'm picking with Brother Kelly. He's talking about he's going to be a commercial expert now on waterworks and things of that nature. Amen. But you know what? God gave him some experience with some real estate businesses he had. Why? So that he can be an expert? No, so he can come to this church and help us. Amen. Amen. And guess what? With the experience he's got here, he can go back to Colorado and guess what? Help somebody else.
Amen.
Help somebody else. Hey, go down to verse number 4. It says, not verse 4. We just read 4, didn't we? Come down to verse 6. And whether we be, what's the word? Afflicted, it is for your what? Consolation. What did the psalmist say? Hey, I've been afflicted, but I know you and your faithfulness afflicted me. What did he say here? And whether we be afflicted, it is for your what? Consolation, salvation, which is what? Effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be what? Comforted. It is for what? Your consolation and salvation. It gets better. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. And in verse number 6, that's what Paul says about Titus. He says down there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verses 6 and 7. Nevertheless, God that what? Comforted those that are cast down. What? Comforted who? Us by the coming of Titus, verse 7. And not by his coming only, but by the what? Consolation wherewith he was what? Comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So Paul is saying here, this was given. Go to verse 13. Therefore we were what? Comforted in what? In your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy do we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. What am I saying here? The psalmist's view of comfort cannot be taken away. He said, Lord, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. I'm going to find it in the book. By the way, when you are comforted of God, comfort someone else. Don't let it end with you. Don't let it stop with you. Don't let it be the end after you're comforted. We can comfort each other after God comforts us from his word. Amen. Think about that. I can go to the word of God and get comfort from the word of God and then comfort somebody else. Amen. That's good. That's good. Hey, Pastor Lenny got there, and then he comforted me and encouraged me, and I thought, glory to God, this is good. That's good. I got to comfort somebody else for this. Amen. Go back to Psalm 119. So we see verse 76. He said, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. And so the psalmist's view of comfort. But then, let's see, the psalmist's view of consolation and mercy can't be taken away. Verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may, what's the word, live. For thy law is my delight. That I may live. You say, preacher, we're all living. But sometimes you feel like you're just going to die if you don't get through a certain situation.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, there are certain situations that you just don't like to go through. There's certain people that are just going to bring you things that you just don't want to face. There's certain people at your job and your family and in the community and around the world that you just don't want to face them. Sometimes you'd just rather die. Why? I'm going to heaven if I die. And I don't have to face you. Amen. Let's just be honest. We get that way sometimes. Something we just don't want to say. And we'd rather go away while I walk on this side of the room while they walk on that side of the room. They come on this side of the room, I'm walking on this side of the room. And if they start coming my way, I'm going to the bathroom. I got to get away from them. I don't want to see them. He says down there, he says in verse 77, let thy tender mercies come to me that I may live, For thy law is my delight. Or it's what I desire, it's what I love. The word live means to cause, to revive. So in other words, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may revive. It means to keep or make alive, that I may be kept alive. It means to give the promise of life, that I may have the promise of life. It means to nourish up. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may be nourished up, that I may be preserved or quickened. Here's a good one. That I may recover or repair myself. Amen. Sometimes people just break you. And you got to be repaired. Sometimes people just want to bend you. And you say, Lord, bend me back. I'm not as resilient as I used to be. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. God, you know, those things didn't used to matter. It used to be water for ducks back. But this duck's back is kind of messed up now. And it kind of sits on my back now. And it's not water off the duck's back like it used to be. It kind of sits there. Kind of bothers me some. It means to recover, repair, restore to life, to make whole. The psalmist says, let thy tender mercies, Lord, let your tender mercies come to me that I can live, recover myself. Thy law is my delight. He said, I've gotten in the word of God, and this is what I need. It's my delight in. Recover me by it. Make me what I need. Mend me by it. About you, but I've had some. This is our 19th year. I've had to go to God for many a mending. Had to go to God for many a broken heart. Had to go to God for many a bruise in my body, in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, in my emotions. I had to go to God and say, Lord, let me live. Restore me. Build me up. Give me that life that I need. The psalmist is asking God to be gentle with him amidst the attacks that he's going through. Sometimes we do feel like we're going to die and we have to put up with unfair treatment one more day. But the psalmist has already come to the conclusion, God, I know you and your faithfulness, you allowed it to happen. I know you allowed it. He said, but I need your tender mercies. Let the tender mercies come to me that I may live. Thy law is my delight. Go back, hold your finger there in Psalm 119 and go back to verse 17. And this is a very familiar thing to the psalmist, verse 17, early on, notice what he says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may what? Live and keep thy word. He said, Lord, if you deal with me bountifully, give me more what I deserve, just load me up, Lord, I can live. I can live and I can keep your word better. And notice what he says over in verse number 116. Verse 116, he says this, uphold me according to thy word, that I may, what's the word? Live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. What am I saying here? The psalmist knew that the word of God was his delight, and that's what he needed. He said, it's going to make me live. It's going to keep me going. And I don't know about you, but that's what we need. The psalmist's view of consolation and mercy, say, God, you console me, let me live. The psalmist's view of comfort can't be taken away in verse 76. You come down to verse number 78. Notice the psalmist's view of consolation from meddlers. Don't you hate meddlers? People that just won't mind their business, they all in your business. And you would think that they need to mind their own business. But a meddler is more concerned with your business than they are with their business. Amen? And so, yeah, you just want to say, mind your business. Get out. Leave me alone. Do you have any reason for what you're doing? Notice what he says in verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. He said, Lord, let them be ashamed. They didn't deal with me right. He says, but I will meditate in thy precepts. He said, let them do what they're going to do. Proud means arrogant, presumptuous. People have their mind made up about you already. Before you even open your mouth, they're judging, jury, they've already locked you away and sentenced you as unfit, unfaithful, and whatever it is that they have up in their mind. They're presumptuous. They're arrogant. He said, let the proud be ashamed. Why? They don't have a clue. God, you made me. You molded me. You created me. You're afflicting me. They think that they got a hand in this, God, but it's you that's doing this. You just may happen to be using them. Amen. He said, let them be ashamed. They think they're getting over. Remember Pharaoh? How he was getting over on Israel? Not going to let the people go. Matter of fact, I'm going to double your work. What you going to do about that? Give you some fries. Give you some fries. Flies. Give you some flies. what's God say about that? I'm still not going to let your people go. Why? Well, I'll let the men go. Why? Well, I'll let the animals and the other ones, leave the children. God had to humble him from his pride to say, I'll let them all go. When he said, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Perversely means crookedly, falsifyingly, overthrowingly, turning me upside down. They're dealing with me unrighteously. He said, but I will meditate in thy precepts. You know, when you're concerning yourself with the precepts of God, you don't have a lot of time to be meditating on what they're doing. Amen. Say, preacher, does it make it feel better? No, but it sure makes your mind and your spirit feel a whole lot easier to be able to take it, knowing that God is in charge. Amen. When he says, let the proud be ashamed. In other words, let God deal with them. God can take care of them. He sees them. He knows them. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. There is nothing that happens to you or I that God does not see nor know, or may I say ordered. It all had to pass his watchful eye. Did not Satan have to get the approval from God to mess with Job? Yes, he did. And so everything that happens that the proud tries to do to us or tries to deal perversely with us, God has to give the approval, and God still sees it. By the way, you're going to have the proud in low places, you're going to have the proud in high places, and everywhere in between. They're always going to be there. And that's the reason why meditating in the Word is good and cannot be taken away. What the psalmist say? Let the proud be ashamed. He said, God, you confound them. They dealt perversely with me without a cause. He says, but you know what? I'm going to meditate in thy precepts. Remember what he said up in verse 23? Go back up there. And what he said in verse 23, and one of the first ones that we look at, princes also did sit and what? Speak against me. But what did the servant do? But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. What does he say here in verse 78? Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perverse with me without a cause. But what would I do? Meditate in thy precepts. It had to change. He said they're speaking, they're afflicting, they're dealing perversely, they're doing all these things. But what are you going to do? I'm going to keep meditating. Why? God sees. God knows. God knows how to deal with people. And I'm so glad he does. I tell my kids all the time, well, I'm going to give them back. No. The Bible says vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. God is a much fitter, more fit to give the judgment and avenge than you and I ever could be. When God goes deep. God goes to the heart. He crippled Egypt because of Pharaoh's pride. He crippled a nation. He didn't just deal with Pharaoh. He dealt with the nation. They had no more slaves. They had no more revenue. They gave all their gold, all their silver away. They had nothing. They didn't have a successor on the throne. He killed them all. Destroyed his army. When God deals with people that are proud and act perversely towards you and I, God is not asleep. Amen. God is fully awake and fully aware. And he will fully serve judgment.
Amen.
Hey. What do you say down there? He said, let the proud be ashamed. They dealt perversely with me. Without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. And then notice verse 79. The psalmist's view of companions can't be taken away. He said, let those that fear thee turn unto me. Those that have known thy testimonies. Perhaps others were struggling too. The psalmist invites them. He says, come on over here. I'm struggling too. I'm going to keep an open eye. I'm going to keep an open door. I'm going to keep an open heart. I'm going to keep an open ear. Come on over here. Let me show you what God did for me and what God did through me. And hopefully it'll help you out too.
Amen.
Hey, what you said earlier about those that fear thee, go up there to verse number 76, verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. What does he say in verse 79? Let those that fear thee turn unto me. And those that have known thy, he said, everybody knows the word of God, and I know you're going through a tough time. Come on over here. Let me show you how good God's been to me. Let me show you what God's done for me. By the way, we're talking about preserving against the proud and the pity parties, amen. You can't talk about how good God is when you have a pity party. Because people don't see how good God is, they see how bad you are. Amen. And how bad it is, and how bad. I don't want to be a Christian. I remember looking at some Christians before I became a Christian. I said, man, I want to be a Christian like that. I mean, they bellyache, they moan, they complain, they talk about everybody. And I thought, what kind of Christianity is that? I don't remember Jesus doing none of that. You know what I said? I want to be a Christian. I got saved. I said, look, if I'm going to get saved, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to try to be as right as I can be all the time. My boss got saved. And I had two coworkers in the office. He said, I don't want to be a Christian like them. I want to be one like you. That's bad. That's bad when somebody can look at others that have the same salvation you have, but they're not living for God, and they're letting their situation, their circumstances get to them, and somebody can say, I don't want to be a Christian like that, because that's exactly what I said. I looked at some Christians, I said, I don't want to be a Christian like that. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be a Christian. Amen. And I'm always right. I always do the right thing. You know, I'm like Peter sometimes. Open mouth and sure foot. So what I try to do, I try to keep a short account with God, and I want people that know God to know me. Amen. Verse 63 again, down there, go to 116:63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precept. Verse 63. What did he say? I'm a companion of all them that fear. I want to be around God's people that have a reverence for Almighty God. Why? They're going to help me, and I can help them.
Amen.
I'll be perfect in them. But I want them to be my companion. I want them to be my counselor. I want them to be my trusted advisors. I want to give just anybody. And then lastly, the psalmist's view of completeness can't be taken away. Psalmist's view of completeness. Verse 76, comfort cannot be taken away. Verse 77, consolation and mercy can't be taken away. Verse 78, consolation from meddlers can't be taken away. Verse 79, companions can't be taken away. The view of companions can't be taken away. Then lastly, the psalmist's view of completeness can't be taken away. He says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Let it be not ashamed. The word sound there means to be complete. It means to be whole. It means to be full. It means to be healthy. He says, let my heart be healthy. Let it be complete. Let it be sound. Let it be full. The word shame means to be disappointed, to be confounded or confused. He said, Lord, let my heart be full, complete, healthy in your word, in thy statutes, that I be not confused. I don't be disappointed. I'm not confounded. I'm not ashamed. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. We're going to have situations. We're going to have circumstances. We're going to have sinners. They're going to afflict us. We're going to have all sorts of things that happen in our life. This psalmist here is living proof of that as we go through this. But his one saving grace is the promise of the word of God.
Amen.
He said, a lot of things are happening in my life. A lot of things happening in this world right now. Pandemic. Politically. I mean, it's just unrest. Black Lives Matter. You name it. It's going on. It's happening. Hurricanes in diverse places. I mean, just crazy. But you know what's not crazy? Psalms was afflicted on every hand. He says, you know what? I'm resting in this. I'm delighting in this. Four times we saw in Psalm 119, delight and meditate in a minute. We're going to bring it all together on the next last message and show you how you can be like this. It doesn't just happen automatically. What if God would just touch something? Being in osmosis. You know, and get the big S on your chest. Super Christian. Able to be sin in a single vow. Insulated from sin. Won't touch the world. That way, sin. Tempted but never fall. Try it if you will.
Oh, super Christian. We want to be like you.
Yes, I know you do. It's not that way. I wish it were. It's work. The psalmist had to go through a lot to get to where he is, but as a result, he's writing to encourage you, encourage me. And let us know, hey, it can happen. You can be afflicted. You can go through these things and still keep your head above water. This is not the end. You're not drowning. We can delight as we meditate, and we can meditate as we delight. The psalmist says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let's invest more in our meditation and delighting in the promises of the Word of God, because it can't be taken away. This pandemic is going to have more sports world is still really over the millions and the billions of dollars that they're losing from fans and revenue. I mean, they're reeling. But guess what? When you invest in this, you don't lose. You gain. But let's invest more in the promise that cannot be taken away, His Word. Father, thank you so much that, Lord, we have the blessed Word of God. It will not be taken away. You said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Lord, help us to leave here with the assurance that the Word of God, if we invest in it, is going to yield a profit in our life. And although we may be afflicted, although the proud may afflict us, although they may do things without a cause, Lord, you know, and you see, and you will sustain us. The psalmist's last plea in verse 80, let my heart be sound. Oh, God, help us to be sound, complete, whole in your statutes, in your word, that we can do what we need to do. Help us to meditate. Help us to delight in the word of God. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to accept Christ before it's everlasting too late. Word of God is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to sense the Spirit, letting them know they're not right with thee. The Lord's word says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Help them to turn from sin, turn to Christ, calling on Him to be saved, and help them to rejoice that they made a decision to trust Christ. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now our viewers. Bless this invitation. And help one man, one boy, one girl to call on Jesus Christ today, that He may save them, and they will know that heaven is their home, and they're eternally secure from hell. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed just for a moment. As G2 plays an invitation, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe like this psalmist, you've seen some afflictions. Maybe you need some comfort. Maybe you need some consolation and mercy. Maybe some consolation from meddlers. Maybe you need to view the companions that you're around. Maybe you can be a little bit more complete. Whatever it is, ask God to surround you and to build you up like the psalmist did. The psalmist wasn't shy. He was very bold in what he's asking for. These last verses, he said, let the proud be ashamed, Lord. He said, let those that fear thee turn unto me. He said, let my heart be sound. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, verse 76, let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. God wants us to come to Him and ask Him to help us, to strengthen us through this pandemic and beyond. Make sense of what's going on. Get answers. Then once you've been comforted, once you've been helped, He says, be able to help someone else. Be able to console someone else. Be able to encourage someone else. Oh, it's not the end of the road. I gave it to you, so you gave it to someone else. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full of His wonderful face. The things above of this earth will grow strangely dim. For the light of His glory and grace. To us, Lord, I do pray that your hand of mercy will guide throughout this week. Lord, maybe some that may have a bad week like I had last week. Maybe some that are going to have a good week because of their focus on you. Lord, there are going to be some that are going to be afflicted this week. The proud are going to deal adversity with them. Lord, there may be some that need to be a comfort or an encourager to others. God, give them the word of God's completeness and soundness that they can be the comforter, the consoler, the companion that they need to be this week. Lord, uphold them with and by the word of God, the promise that cannot be taken away. Thank you, Lord, that you said Mary chose that good part. Now help us to leave here with the choice that we have made, that choice that cannot be taken away, the promise of the Word of God. Dismiss us with thy blessings, Lord. Lord, take us through a wonderful week to come back next week, relishing, Lord, reminding of the 19 years of ministry that you gave us here at the Shining Light Baptist Church. We love you and thank you.